KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station. ESPN. 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hour number two, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It is Aaron Rabel behind the glass. It is Nick and Joel, and of course, Mario Elie. My good friend right here but next to us, at least taking us till 2:30. So we got to some of the subtopics that I wanted to get to you with. But the main one was, I think everybody wants to hear about your opinion on the Russell Westbrook move. Because from my standpoint, I've voiced a lot of different perspectives on the fact that I thought Chris got a raw deal. I thought the fact that for everybody that wanted to believe it was sunshine and rainbows, there was conflict between those two guys. And I said the truth is always somewhere in the middle. But at the end of the day, you know, a lot of the fans believe Daryl's got to be honest with everybody and tell him exactly what he's thinking, what he's doing. Let's be honest. He was shopping Chris Paul. And that's why Chris Paul came out and said, I didn't ask to be traded, so at least he wasn't the bad guy. But he gets moved out. James, who lobbied to get Chris in here, lobbied to get him out so he could get his boy Russell Westbrook in here now. Your take on everything, how it's gotten to this point.
Just a lot of drama. It's been a crazy summer, I mean, for a lot of teams, you know. But I know Rockets really wanted to get off that contract. They did, but, you know, they added a guy with $171 million on his contract. So, granted, Russell Westbrook is a triple-double machine, won an MVP. But I'm a guy big on playoff success. We know the Rockets are going to be good this year. I'm on a wait-and-see approach. The reason why is I got to see what these guys do in the play. I know these guys going to be fun to watch, win a lot of games during the regular season. But to me, where the Rockets have failed in the past couple of years are in the postseason. And it was just one team. It was Golden State. So I thought Chris Paul was a pretty solid player. He fit D'Antoni's system great. He can shoot the ball. When Harden was out the game, he kept everybody involved in the game. So it's going to be interesting what D'Antoni does with Westbrook and how he involves him in the offense and how they play.
Can you blame Daryl Morey for shopping Chris Paul?
My thing is, 2 years ago, they were the hamstring away. He got him there.
Yeah.
The franchise record wins. And then all of a sudden, you're going to put all the blame on him the second year?
Yeah, you can't blame it. A lot of guys need to take responsibility for that. But everybody always looks at the contract. You know, they signed a 34-year-old point guard who's going to make $38, $40, and $44 million his next 3 years, and they seeing his play going down. But I just thought Chris Paul was a very cerebral out there on the floor, could make the shot. My one thing with him was just his health. You know, it was always his health. Getting that amount of money, we need you to play 70 games. We don't need you to play 55, 60. So what you get in Westbrook, you get a guy who's going to want to play every night, who's going to want to compete every night. But with him, what I want to see from Westbrook is have a goal to lead the league in assists. We don't need you to score 25 or 30 for the Rockets to win. We got enough guys to score the ball.
So here's where I'm at. The experts are all saying, well, Russ has got to learn to play off the ball and let James have the ball. If he's the poorer of the tour shooters and he is the more pure point guard and the ball handler, why wouldn't you have him be the one, Harden be the two?
And that's where I'm at. I mean, when you're running D'Antoni offense, which is a spread offense to shoot threes, James Harden runs a mid-pick and roll with Russell Westbrook in the corner. What you think the defense is going to do? They're going to suck in off Russell Westbrook and make him shoot the three. So that's my question in this offense. Is Westbrook going to make enough threes for the Rockets to get deep in the playoffs or to get a championship run? Last I remember, he was a 20% three-point shooter and 65 from the line. What are the Rockets' strength? Getting to the free throw line and shooting threes. So that's why I'm on the wait-and-see approach. To me, Russell Westbrook's one of my favorite players to watch because of the energy and passion he plays with. Everybody he plays against is an enemy. That's how you got to be on the court. He don't like nobody on the court. That's what I love about Westbrook.
Remind you of someone else?
VMAX is probably one.
The guy sitting Mario, next to me. Mario. The guy sitting next to me was just like that.
Yeah, and that's why I love about Westbrook. He has no friends except for his own team, and that's what I like about him. But can he make threes for us? Can he knock his free throws down in the clutch? Can we get out? You know, he hasn't been out the first round in 3 years with OKC. So,
from what you've gathered from the team, does it look like Harden is willing to play off the ball? What does it look like in terms of the direction with running the point position? What does it look like to you? They're still trying to figure that out, maybe?
Well, I know they knew each other since they were young, both from Southern California, and they had good success in OKC, but you had Kevin Durant and Ibaka at the time.
So right.
It's going to be interesting. The good thing is they both excited to play with each other. To me, James is clearly the number one guy on the team. So Westbrook got to come into this situation. Hey, how can I help James Harden go to the Western Conference Finals? If he comes with that mindset, I like what the Rockets do. But if he's going to continue to play the same way, I don't think it's going to work. I don't think it's going to work. He got to adjust. Westbrook got to
adjust. You and I are the same page because I said the same thing. I'm not going to pass judgment on if it can work or not until I see how they're going to play. Right now, it's all just blowing smoke. They can all say that they're going to play off the ball and be a good teammate and all that, but we all know that their notoriety is based on their stats and getting the pub and the props that they get for what they've done in the last couple years when they were chasing MVPs. Now they're chasing a bigger trophy. The thing that I'll say, because you won't, and you don't need to, because I've said it enough, this isn't Mike D'Antoni's team. This isn't Daryl Morey's team. This is James Harden's team and his franchise. And the thing that I think that where everybody was placing the blame on Chris and everybody's trying to say Westbrook's got to do this, got to do that, at some point, James Harden has to be accountable too. And he's got to say, look, if I want this franchise to succeed to win a title, I got to do less so the team can achieve more. And when D'Antoni's offense says other people have to bring it up and touch the ball than me, I got to be willing to do that, even though during a stretch last year when they needed him, he did it all.
I totally agree, Joe. He's going to need help. And he noticed all that work he did, great work he did in the last 3 or 4 years, didn't get the Rockets nowhere. Got him in the playoffs, second round. We did go to Western Conference Finals. But these two guys have accomplished everything. It's only one trophy that should matter to them two guys, and that's the Larry O'Brien. So are these both guys willing to sacrifice? These two alpha dogs, are they both willing to sacrifice for each other? That's why we all on the wait-and-see approach. Get your popcorn ready. It's going to be interesting what happened. But one more point I got to make, Joe. When Westbrook is out there and Harden's out, he got to keep all these other guys involved. Gordon got to still get his shots. Tucker still got to get his corner threes. Give Capella some touches on his pick on the pick and rolls. Or maybe somebody work with Dream. Get some box work. I'm tired when small guys switch on Capella. He can't take advantage of him. We just paid him 25 or some million a year. He got to be able to, when a small guy switches on him, he has to be able to punish those guys down.
No, no doubt. I really feel like Eric Gordon, of the names that you mentioned that should get their touches and should get their shots, I feel like it's really important for a guy like Eric Gordon to do that, because PJ Tucker just seemed like the guy that was more flexible about his role. He's kind of the guy that's like the enforcer, does the dirty work, which a lot of players don't necessarily want to do. So in terms of prioritizing those players, who would you think should get the most touches, more shots, most looks after Westbrook and James Harden?
It's definitely Eric Gordon, you know, and you always also got to keep House, Gerald Green, I don't know who else they added to the squad.
Don't forget Rivers now, because Rivers
exactly.
is going on that
to
short-term
me, Rivers
contract.
Was a good...
He's basing it on this system so he gets paid.
Well, Rivers I thought was a big pickup for him. I thought he played some great minutes for the Rockets last year. I'm glad they brought him back. He's a guy, he's their wild card. I mean, he has some good stretches, even in the playoffs for us last year. So he's another big piece. You got to get him his touches also. So it's going to be interesting when you bring a guy like Westbrook and you got a guy like Harden, who 99.9%, both of them guys going to have the ball. It's how they distribute the shots is going to be interesting to me.
The other thing, and we've talked about this over the years, and the three of us used to do a show on the network side on basketball where we talked about this too, but we knew where there was the super team. We knew the Warriors were always that kind of team waiting at the end of the tunnel to see, you know, decide your season. Now it seems like there's been a balance of power. Now it's duos all over the place. Harden yep. and Westbrook. You've got Kawhi and PG. You've got AD and LeBron and all these different teams. The key that I think is, who's your third best player? You guys both mentioned Eric Gordon. If Eric Gordon's your third best player and he's playing well, you got a shot. You look at Golden State, that's why I say please don't sleep on them, because when they get healthy and Klay back, they got Draymond locked up, they've got Steph Curry, they still got three, and they won a title with those three. So I think it's who's your third best player that's going to be really important. That's why I think this whole balance of power could lie in one guy's lap. Andre Iguodala and where he ends up playing could decide a whole lot in this league this year.
Just remember Golden State. Remember, they have a guy, number 35, Kevin Durant, for a couple of years. And let's remember, Draymond Green averages 7 points and 7 rebounds. So we're going to see how good Draymond Green without Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant. So it's just going to be him and Steph in these first 50 games. They're talking about Klay Thompson ain't going to be back till after the All-Star break. Everybody going to be in shape and off and running by then. So it's going to take him a while to get back off that knee and feel confident in that knee. So it's going to be interesting with Draymond. Okay, you ain't got all these stars around you now. So let's see how you go play with just you and Steph Curry. That's my thing. Right now, I'm liking Houston definitely better than the Warriors right now. I'll take Eric Gordon right now over Draymond. Granted, Draymond passes the ball, plays good D. But nowadays, with all these good teams in the West, Joe, you got to put the ball in the basket. So I think Eric Gordon is a guy capable of having a bunch of 30-point nights. So it's going to be interesting, especially out West, like you mentioned, Joe, with all the great tandems. You know, everybody, you know, LeBron and AD. But I'm interested to see where Paul George gets healthy. But that Clipper team, boy, with that defense, that pit bull at 21 picking the ball up 94 feet.
Pat Bev.
With Kawhi and Paul George backing him up. Boy, that's going to be a fun defensive team to watch.
That is going to be fun. Another guy I wanted to ask you about, considering that you're here and we don't get an opportunity to talk to you a lot, is Carmelo Anthony and how that situation unfolded. And he did an interview with Stephen A. Smith, I want to say about a week ago, trying to say that, or I guess he basically did say that no one really came up to him about a bench role and that he wasn't going to necessarily be on the bench, or no one necessarily told him in his face that he would be on the bench for the Rockets. Do you think that's true?
That's hard for me to believe. You're towards your end of career, man, and accept the role. Even when OKC, when they asked him, man, you believe it, Russ, they're going to ask me to come off the bench? That rubbed me the wrong way. Dude, you done accomplished everything in your career. It ain't about sacrificing and winning now. You saw what Dwayne Wade did, right? Dwayne Wade is a way better, had a way better career than Melo. And he decided, yo, let me fall back and come off the bench and lead the second unit. I don't think if Melo has that in him. That's what people was questioning about him. Then when I'm hearing you want a farewell tour, don't nobody want to put you on a team for a damn farewell tour. They're going to put you on a team to contribute, to help us win, to help develop the young guys. That's what you should be doing. Who? You ain't been to a – you ain't never played in the finals.
Boom, that's where I was going. You know what I'm saying? You want a college title.
You want a college title. You want some gold medals. You ain't playing the finals. Dirk, Dwayne Wade, they played in finals and won. Dirk's an MVP. Wade is a 3-time champion with a finals MVP. So, Melo, I mean, I love you. I know those are your boys. You down with the Banana Boat crew. But your career is not like that you deserve a farewell tour. You know, I love Melo. I feel bad the way it's going for him. But, you know, aging superstars got to realize they're aging. That's why I love Vince Carter. 42 years old, great locker room guy. Don't care if he plays 2 minutes or 15 minutes. He accepted his role. But Melo waited too late to accept it. They're not GMs
are
like.
They still haven't accepted it.
Exactly. And GMs are like, nah, we ain't going to mess with that.
There you go. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to keep rolling with Mario to the bottom of the hour. So if you got any questions for us, you can hit us up. 713-780-3776, HRP Listener Line. Call or text that number or hit us on Twitter at Pac-Man Joel with a K at the producer Nick. It's Mario. It's Nick. It's Joel. It's Aaron. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. So we kick, push, kick, push, kick, push, kick, push, coast.
And the way you roll. A rebel to the world with no place to go. My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Yo, G, they can't stop me from rapping, can they? Can they hop?
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, it's Nick, it's Joel, Barry's on the road, Aaron's filling in for Nick. Mario Elie with us, and I wanted to get to your thoughts a little bit. We'll get to the East in a second. But I did want to get the one name that I was going to bring up when we were talking Warriors. Does D'Angelo Russell fit? Because we're talking about the third best player. While they're working out and we're seeing where Clay's at, they did at least pick up a nice player, a young player in D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting when Clay comes back. How does that dynamic work? Are you going to play Clay at the three?
Or do you go small?
I don't know, because you got D'Angelo and Steph that don't guard. Clay can't guard everybody's man, so it's going to be interesting. I'm thinking they're going to keep him around till Clay gets back. Then they're going to have to make a move to get another body or two to help out Steph and Clay. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Golden State is – but isn't this the situation that Adam Silver wants? Like, this is the dynamic he wants where there's – mostly two big stars on each team. So are you okay with like that as opposed to a super team?
More parity.
I just like the parity. That's what you play professional sports for. I'm sick of the super teams. Guys wanting to play with each other, that buddy stuff. You want to compete against the best. That's what you, professional sports is about, competing against the best.
Well, and what you mentioned KD, and KD obviously made that super team with Golden State. But KD now goes to Brooklyn. And is KD going to be labeled more as a team-jumping super team guy and less for being one of the greatest of all time? Because, look, there's no arguing what he does on the court, but I think a lot of people get really ticked off and they've forgotten about LeBron and the decision because they've been so upset about Kevin Durant going to the Warriors after leaving a good OKC team and now leaving the Warriors to go to and try to create a good Brooklyn team.
It's crazy, man. This is just a different era of basketball. You know, it's just a different era. That's, you know, I see a lot of these young guys. Like, oh, the old guys are just, you know, miserable that we're getting all this money. But we're not. We just want to see competition. That's what this is all about. And Kevin Durant and LeBron, how many times they moved? These supposed to be the two of the greatest players of their generation. And these guys have moved twice already. So I love guys like Dirk. I love guys like Ginobili. Love guys like Tim Duncan and Reggie Miller, guys who stayed at one franchise.
Udonis Haslam.
And Udonis Haslam, guys who endured the ins and outs and made something happen at the end of the day. You know, Tim ends up getting fired, you know, staying with one franchise. I'm glad Dirk got his one, deservedly so. So it's, I like those type of stories.
Yeah, the other thing that I really wanted to get to is the Rocket situation in terms of control. We were talking about in the break about what would you prefer in terms of picking your assistants, your coaches on your team. Is that the only way to go if you're an NBA team, to let your coach pick all the assistants and all the help that he needs to coach a basketball team?
Every team runs their organization differently. I'm from the old school. If I'm going to be a head coach, I want guys that I know how they work and trust. I don't need a GM. There's enough, tons of great coaches out there, but I don't need a GM to pick my staff for me. But that seems to be the model these days. The GM wants to pick the head coach and the assistant coaches. So how do you build trust and camaraderie? I don't understand that. But this is the new era we're in. You know, if I was to get a job, I would want to pick my own staff, guys that I know, who I trust, that's going to have my back. So a lot of these situations and coaches, you hire a guy, you don't know if he's going to have your back or not.
We were talking about college basketball. But in the pros, it's even more magnified that you need that trust. And there are moles. And if you don't think there are, then you are kidding yourself. Because there are
sure
people,
are.
When the general manager picks you to be the assistant coach, first thing they're doing after every practice and every private coaches-only meeting is, they're running up those stairs and they're going, you know what we talked about in the coaches' meeting today? You know what the coach said? And that's why a guy like Mike D'Antoni, for as much of a team player as he has been, to allow them to pick some of the assistants, to allow them to kind of be more involved in everything that he does on a daily basis. He's paying the price now. He hasn't gotten an extension because of it, because now they know too much, and then there's not what Mario's talking about in terms of that togetherness in the coaching room.
I mean, the reason why I brought it up is because I feel like Kevin Durant, like in his mind, I don't feel like he has to prove anything, but in his mind, because of all the social media hate and stuff like that, in his mind, he's going to solidify his career in the event he goes to Brooklyn and he gets a championship. And I think what will happen is, if a coach or his assistants rub him the wrong way, I feel like he's going to go to the general manager and say, hey, I don't like that guy. And that's the reason why that new trend exists, because general managers, they don't want to give all the coaches the power because they're afraid one of the stars are going to approach them and they're going to have to make a move. And it's just a sticky situation, I think, for everybody.
Yeah. We're in the era of player empowerment. That's where we're at. The stars got all the power. If you make one of them top 50 teams, you're eligible for a super max. So when you pay a guy $150 million, $200 million, he's going to have a lot of say-so on what goes on with the team. And that's the way it is. This is the era we're in right now. You know, this is the era we're in. The players got the power now.
Where's the era you're in? I know you're waiting for the boys who are going to be juniors to finish school, but you were a rising assistant coach. That one off season, everybody had you on their list for head coaching jobs. I know you got a little bit disillusioned at the way that this whole thing went down because of the fact that you didn't get the proper looks you deserved. Now you've been spending some time with the boys. You've been getting into the AU and coaching. Do you get that itch to want to go back to the league?
Of course, I would love to work, but I prefer maybe, you know, a college level now. You know, I would like college level. I just think today's play is a little different. You got to be really nice to them. You can't really get hard on these guys because, like you mentioned, these guys got power. You know, if you challenge a guy because he didn't cut off the baseline on defense and you sort of do it demonstrably, a lot of these guys don't like that style of coaching. It's just a different era of player. You know, Rudy T used to yell at us and tell us what to do. We accepted it and went out and did it. Some of these young guys that I had experience of coaching, a lot of young teams, you'll tell a guy to go out and do it and they'll look at you like, why are you yelling at me?
Do you feel like that happened with Pop and Kawhi?
I don't think so. I thought they lost trust as far as health. It was the doctor's situation. I thought that was big. Kawhi, I guess, is big on trust. And he felt he was hurt. You know, guys know their own body. They don't need a doctor to tell them how they feel. So Kawhi said, I didn't feel right. So why you guys are rushing me back? And then with the situation with Tony Parker talking about, I had a worse injury than you and came back. So all that trust was broken.
There were a lot of people dumping out on Kawhi that had to eat their words when they saw him win a title.
But the best thing about it is when he went back to San Antonio, Pop hugged him. Everybody showed him some, even though they booed him, they shouldn't have booed him. He brought a lot to the franchise. I'm glad that chapter is closed. He went on and did great things. And now he's where he wants to be. He's back home, L.A. He's tight with his family. So I'm very happy for Kawhi.
How's Timmy going to do as an assistant coach? Tim Duncan, why does he even go back?
Tim just loves the game. The thing I'm worrying about, what is the dress code for Tim?
I said the same thing.
I'm like, is he going to wear a suit?
Or are they going to have with
gym shorts and a T-shirt on the sideline?
But that's him since day one.
That's what I'm all looking forward to. What's Tim going to wear on the bench? Is he going
to
wear his Bahamas shirt with his jeans and his Timberlands? So Tim can wear whatever the hell he wants on the sideline, man. That dude is great. He's a great individual. I'm very happy for him. That's a big piece of your coaching staff, getting one of the best players ever to play the game and teaching these young big men.
See, that's a guy I feel like can communicate with you and get on, like he can get hard on you, and I still feel like players of this era can kind of respond to.
And Tim is not that type of guy. It was a pleasure playing with him. What made Tim great, he was coachable. I was there when Pop would light him up and Tim would just smile at him and go on the court and take care of his business. Nowadays, you yell at a guy, he'll yell back at you, he'll mess his game up, but you get on Tim, everybody knew where they stood. I said, Pop can get on Tim, he can get on us too. So that's why it's been working in San Antonio. When he got leaders like David Robinson and Tim Duncan, Mono and Tony, who allow themselves to be coached, it trickles down.
That's why I said Dwight Howard. At some point, it's on you. When you get the tutelage of Kevin McHale and Hakeem Olajuwon, and they work with you, and you don't pick things up after two straight years, that's on you. If Tim Duncan's working with you, and you have the ability to pick something up for him, and you don't, that's on you. If Clint Capella doesn't start developing offensive moves, and he's working out with Dream, and he said he idolized Dream, at a certain point, we see the work that Dream's putting in, that's on you.
That's on you. I mean, that's what... I'm hoping to see just one move from Clint Capella this offseason. Hopefully he worked on it. But he needs to have a little more box work down there, like you mentioned, Joe, with all these great big men, Dream and all this guys you had to work with. Some of it has to rub off. And you mentioned Dwight Howard. There's a reason why Dwight Howard, number one pick in the draft, is just bouncing from team to team. Somebody just let him go. This dude was the number one pick in the draft, one of the most athletic centers. And he don't even have a job.
Doesn't have a ring either. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that, too. So
Joseph, there's a reason for that.
That's right.
He bought a phone like, ain't nobody hit me up?
I wonder why.
Things that make you go,
Exactly right. Well, we know that you've had a busy offseason. We're going to have you back closer to the season, too, so we can start kicking up some basketball.
Brother.
Yeah, I was telling Joel that we need to have you closer to the, whenever your schedule's free, like preseason.
Yeah, for basketball. Get some more basketball talk. But
well, we're on volleyball right now, but I can squeeze in some basketball talk with my boys.
How's your set? You're setting better than you're spiking, or?
Hey, I'm just learning all the rules of volleyball, man. It's
enjoy that.
Doubles and you in the net, you know. Wait. You up next, Joe. Once your daughter start playing, boy, you're going to be on the sideline going crazy.
I can't wait.
Hopefully it's softball.
I just told her softball and basketball we'll talk about. I don't know if I want her.
Soccer and volleyball. Keep her in soccer and volleyball.
Yeah, I don't need her in the WNBA. I'm just saying. All right. Mario Elliott's been with us for the last hour. We appreciate him. We got much more in the second half of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Straight to the head like a chronic sack. I passed the mic, took a breath.
ESPN 97.5.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, second half of the show, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Much thanks, props, and love to my boy Mario Elliott for stopping in and spending an hour with us. And he promised us he will come back during basketball season, so that's good.
Yeah, it was fun talking. I mean, there was a lot of things that happened over the course of, 6 weeks that we could just, you know, everything from Russell Westbrook to the Carmelo situation to the D'Antoni, the Chris Paul trade, all that stuff. I mean, the front office there. You got some real takes, honest opinions from Mario Elliott for sure.
And there's a guy that should be on someone's bench. If it's his choice to go to college, put him on a college bench. He makes that university, wherever he goes, better for the program. And what he was getting at, without saying it, is it was exactly what we were talking about before he came on. And that is, Mario is old school. He's not going to sugarcoat it. He's not going to fluff you. He's going to come in. He's going to tell you how it is and how you need to do it if you're going to be better. If you don't like it tough, it's going to toughen you up. And when you get to a day and age in the NBA where players don't like that, and if they don't like it, they're going to tattle on you and they're going to say, I don't want him being my assistant coach, then you just don't want to get better.
Yeah, and I just feel like that's why I asked him about that question regarding Kawhi. Do you think that was the case with them? And he was like, no, it was probably just a trust with the health situation and the doctors and everything like that. I really want to see who's going to become known as the future of coaching, like the next big Popovich in basketball, considering the trend with players and how much power they have. Because I don't know if that hard-nosed mentality is going to work.
It's hard because, you know, we've said this over and over again. In college, the college coach has, but for the most part, has the control. Because most guys need the scholarship, and they're not one and done unless you're John Calipari. So they need the scholarship. They're going to listen. They're going to take whatever you're given. In the NBA, the dynamic shifts to where the players all make more than most coaches. The players have more control and power because most coaches, I've said this over and over to you guys, and I try to soft sell it, but it's true. James Harden's running that whole franchise down there on Polk Street. And because of it, even if Mike D'Antoni wanted to tweak the system and change it, if James isn't on board with it, it's not going to happen. And that's a problem. Brad Stevens is an old school guy that may be the last that we see when you talk about who's the next kind of Popovich. He gets so much respect as a coach that people aren't going to make a change or make him pay the price. But if you come in with that attitude like Brad Stevens and you don't back it up, you're not going to be a coach in the NBA.
Yeah,
alone.
I think it's really difficult. That's why you're not going to see these coaches last for 5, 10, 15 years if it's that dynamic like Mario Elliott was saying, where the general manager starts picking all the coaches and the assistant coaches on the team. And I really believe it's for that specific reason. In the event that this player does not get along with this coaching staff, or even just one member of an entire coaching staff, he can go to the general manager and start complaining and making some changes that will cost some people some jobs. Not necessarily the right thing to do, but it is what it is. That's just kind of the nature of the beast right now. That's what, like, I, I don't necessarily disagree with Mario, but I really do believe that's a contributing factor. The fact that Pop was so hard-nosed with Kawhi, that was at least a contributing factor for his exit and wanting to not be a San Antonio Spur. I really believe that. So
I think it's R.C. Buford as well. I think the front office of the Spurs were going to hold their ground, and it didn't sit well with Kawhi and his uncle. And at the end of the day, again, when we go back to it, in the NBA, the player has more control,
yeah,
and it ends badly, as opposed to in college where you can transfer, and then you got to sit out a year. But so basically, you just suck it up and you take it more, and that's not going to happen in the NBA. So, I mean, I hope the suspects enjoyed that. And, of course, if you got some questions, I did try to get them in with Mario. But, you know, thanks to Tricky Nicky, because, you know, in this marketplace, I'm telling you right now, when you want the best guest for the people of Houston, Texas, I mean, we could get you Charles Barkley. We could get you, you know, the biggest names that we can get you, Kevin McHale, all them. I can bring them to you, but y'all want to hear from ex-Rockets that know about the Rockets. That's why, Tricky Nicky, we bring in the best to keep it lit.
Tricky
Nicky.
Why
we brought in Mario, Ellie, Tricky Ricky. That's what we do. We do around here.
Fun stuff. Fun stuff. I guess we can talk about what are we going to get into this time. We're going
to
do football.
Getting back to the diamond, just on an update. Astros have a 3-0 count on Bregman with the bases juiced. They're up 6-2. Again, props to the offense in the fact that Gerrit Cole has given up a home run to Arenado. He's given up a home run to Trevor Story. He hasn't had his best stuff, just like last night with Zach Greinke. The good news is, doesn't matter. The offense keeps putting runs on the board. They just walked in another run. It's 7-2 Astros in the fourth. So you got to love where this baseball team is right now. It's a good thing. Did you see this road trip they're about to go on?
Yeah.
They're going to go across the country. They're going to go all the way to play Baltimore. Then they're going to stop in Chicago to play the White Sox. Then they're going to go all the way to the West Coast and play the A's before they come back home.
A lot of traveling. Thankfully for them, with the way the baseball schedule works, it's, what, 3-4 games at a time. So, like, in the NBA, that would be a disaster. Too,
for as much as they were bitching about the schedule and everything, yeah, and they wanted, you know, and they didn't get the days off, they got them, like, even today where they get a half day and before they get ready to travel. And I think they might even be off tomorrow before they start the next series.
Yeah. But so, then they're
but
going
then
that,
they go
all those series
25
are back-to-back
straight days, I think, with games.
Yeah, they play 25 out of 28 days.
And then, well, yeah.
They're just going to have to grind through it then. I mean, yep.
Well, it's also the good thing that you, like we were talking about, they have flexibility with the pitching. They've got a deeper bench now because, look, this whole team and the dynamic changed and people don't look at it enough. As good as everybody says individually Yordan Alvarez has been, he's given them so much flexibility from an offensive perspective because he's not Tyler White, because he gives you power and average and punch in the middle of your lineup that you don't miss a beat if you want to, like today, give Springer a day off.
Yeah.
If you want to give a Michael
Brantley lead off. Yeah.
A Brantley a day off.
Yeah. No, I mean, they were talking about that on the broadcast yesterday, and we were talking about that in the press box, that it's really relieving for someone like A.J. Hinch to be able to, like, okay, well, we have an injury situation with Correa. It's okay. We've got four other batters we can choose from. Or it just might be a situation where you just want to give a guy a day off like Springer today. That's a like I said, a good problem to have. Sometimes you lose players that you really like, that you don't want to lose, but it's a good problem to have. I think they'll be able to grind down. Look, throughout this long road trip, I don't know if he said anything about giving any of the other players some time off.
I'm sure he will. Because he knows it's a grind. But the other thing you keep in mind is, too, for everybody that lost their mind at Marwin Gonzalez, how valuable Aledmys Diaz is. He's in left field today. He plays first base. He plays third base. He plays second base. He plays shortstop. That's another reason why you were able to make Tony Kemp expendable and get yourself a backup catcher, because of the fact that Diaz is so valuable at so many different positions, and he's so much cheaper than Marwin and the price that the Twins had to pay. Jeff Luhnow deserves a ton of credit, yes, for the trades, but those sneaky moves like that's a trade that fell under the radar at the time and no one even knew his name, and now everybody knows Diaz is a key member of this franchise.
Yeah. No, a lot of people, look, it's beneficial to be able to have that flexibility, especially in the, you know, when you're fielding and you're trying to change positions, just like you said, like he was playing left field. I mean, I love the flexibility, and it makes it more fun to watch, because instead of being used to the same player at the same spot all the time, you get to see what they can do in other positions. And this team can do that. One of the few teams that can do that in Major League Baseball right now. So
you guys had to pick a most valuable player for the Astros right now,
God,
for
who
this
is it?
Year. That's what I'm saying. It's such a good position to be in, to have so many to choose from. But I was thinking about it as you were talking, Nick, and I'm like, I want Aaron and Nick to tell me who they would pick right now, because it's not going to be Greinke or anybody they made a deal at the deadline for. Who's your MVP of the Astros right now?
That's tough. I'd probably say Gurriel, probably. Gurriel or Bregman.
Okay.
I think Gurriel is just so confident with the way he has his at bats. Every time you need a home run or if you need a hit from Yuli, you probably are going to get it. I really like Yuli right now.
Who you got here?
I want to say Bregman, but I actually might go completely off base and go Gerrit Cole.
I thought about that too.
Just because of how solid he is.
Pitcher of the month in June and July. Yep. Undefeated in those 2 months.
Yep, and the fact that you know when he's out there, he's going to be nails. I mean, he's 13-5. You're almost now at this point, when he starts to buckle down, counting every start he has as a win.
Yeah. To Nick's point, the major league leader in RBIs since June 23rd, Yuli Gurriel with 44. He's player of the month in July. If you had me answer that question, offensively, to me, it was going to be between Bregman and Gurriel because the bottom line is they've stayed healthy.
Yuli, dude,
Springer
he's
had injuries, Altuve had injuries, Correa had injuries, you know, or Michael Brantley. People sleep on Michael Brantley because he's quiet and he's not, you know, he doesn't look at me. He's had a hell of a year too and been huge for that team. But I would say it comes down to three guys offensively, Brantley, Bregman, or Gurriel, and then offensively, I mean, from a pitching perspective, now you look at the fact that you both have Verlander and Cole, and they're going to probably be 1-2 for the Cy Young. It's great to be in a position where you have five guys to choose from for who your MVP would be at this point in the season.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And look where Gurriel is in the batting order.
Look at the fact that he just laced one to the gap in left field and cleared the bases, God. And it's now 10-2 Astros. Yuli Gurriel having a good start to August, although I think this was botched in the outfield. But at the same time, depending on the official score, and they are at home, Gurriel keeps staying hot. He's still got three homers in his last game and a half. So you look at this team and you're like, it's a really good time to be an Astros fan because you get to sit there every night with your popcorn and watch a team that's going to perform both offensively and from a pitching perspective.
I wonder if the attendance tapered off because of Granky not playing. Yeah.
What, in the day game?
Oh, it's a day game too. Yes, I forgot about that.
But it's the last time a lot of times the schools go before they go back to school. They use it as a field trip day. So for like summer schools and clubs and things like that. But Astros up 10-2 as we'll continue to roll on. Plenty more on the agenda that we've got. We got some football news. We've got baseball, basketball, and other things. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can also hit us on Twitter. We are the Usual Suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Tricky Nicky and Blank Juice. Second hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Just joining us, and you're a suspect. You want to know where Barry is. Barry's on his way to Little Rock, Arkansas, to do some comedy, but he will be back via some form of electronic device tomorrow.
So he's okay, Jamie Moore, on Twitter. It's not because of his cat. He has a gig, and he's out. So
yeah.
Hopefully the cat is alive and kicking. And
have you two technically gifted people figured out how he's going to do the show tomorrow from Little Rock, Arkansas? Is it going to be iPad, phone, or is it going to be Comrex?
I think it's via the fancy technology that we have, Comrex. So he'll connect. He'll sound like he's right here in studio with us. Right here.
But last time he did it via remote, it sounded really good.
Yeah. No, it does. It's fancy. You can definitely do it from anywhere in the world. And he goes to Little Rock quite a bit, so... Hopefully, we'll get connected. And
he's a good man of the relatives and his people, so he loves Arkansas.
He does. He does. Hey, one of the things I did want to bring up to you, because yes, we didn't really talk too much NFL in the first 2 hours, is the Antonio Brown situation, because I think you have some experience with this type of therapy, right?
So, yeah, the cryotherapy has become all the rage. I mean, I still play basketball with guys on Saturdays that... At our gym in the upstairs, they have like a physical therapy deal that you can pay for to get treatment and things. And they have that. And a lot of the guys have gone to it. And if you missed it, and if you've seen, you can go anywhere on social media right now, and it was kind of like Shaq's feet when they were doing that thing during inside the NBA, when his feet were... Well, now everybody wants to see Antonio Brown's because supposedly, because he was doing cryotherapy, his feet have suffered frostbite. The bottom of his feet, and Aaron almost threw up right there.
Just the thought of it. Yeah, I've seen it disgusting. Too many times for...
It is like a layer of dead skin that is ready to fall off on the bottom of each foot. And they said that he thinks he got frostbite from cryotherapy. When the Rockets first got their cryotherapy machine, Keith Jones wanted me to be the who's the head of everything human performance and medical for the Rockets. He wanted me to be the guinea pig to try it. And he warned me. He's like, it essentially looks like a big water heater standing straight up. And so
like a big cylinder.
Right. So essentially, or like an MRI machine, only completely encapsulated from your neck down. And you get into it, and then you're supposed to slowly turn all the way around. You turn around in a circle inside the thing, and the temperature drops to like minus 120 or something like that. And Keith said to me, he goes, if you've got any dew on the berries, I'm like, what? He goes, if you've been sweating today and you got that underwear on, he goes, you need to put some dry shorts on.
Yeah.
I was like, why? He goes, because you could get frostbite. I was like, well, what about my feet and my hands? He goes, no, you don't have to worry about that. He goes, you just got to make sure that your private parts don't have any moisture because it'll freeze. And I thought, okay. So I put on a dry pair of shorts and I did it. And while you're doing it, you don't really realize that all the blood in your body is rushing to surround your heart so that your heart stays warm and keeps pumping. And then the minute you get out, it sends good, clean blood all the way throughout the body, and it rejuvenates, and your joints feel better, and the soreness goes away. I just know that a half hour after I did it, I was back up in my desk in my office, and I remember calling Lisa going, oh, my God. It feels like my heart is literally now just like defrosting, and it felt like it was still cold. And I was like, and I told Nick. And then for like 3 days after that, I had a cold. It was like I literally felt like it really... And so I was like, I'm not doing that again.
Yeah, see, the first time I've seen anybody like on video, like I've never seen this in person, is on with Dr. Oz, and he did it. And from what I saw on the Antonio Brown Instagram, his feet looked like it, not necessarily blistered up, but it looked like it was, I don't know, either like extremely dry or it did look like there was damage to his feet. But in that video, the guy that was running the machine was saying, look, so any extended body parts on your body, like your fingers and your toes, don't get the same amount of blood flow. And that's why you have to wear these protective gloves and like these protective gloves for like your feet, but they're really just like protective socks.
Players wear them when they ice their ankles. They wear the same thing. It's like a knee sleeve only for your feet. It's like a mitten.
Right. And apparently that's how Antonio Brown burned his feet, is because he didn't wear the protective, you know, socks and the protective gloves. But when we were talking about it before the show and you're the guinea pig, I'm assuming what, 3, 4, 5 years ago?
Oh, at least that, yeah.
You weren't wearing any of that stuff.
No, all I wore was the dry shorts. But at the same time, a lot of the guys make the mistake of going in with their socks after they've practiced or whatever, and they think that's good enough to cover the feet from the direct cold, and it's not. It's essentially worse because there's moisture inside that's trapped, and that's where you would get that kind of problem.
Yeah, you can't have moisture. You can't have sweat. You can't have any moisture in your clothes. You can't wear jewelry. There's a few things you got to consider when you step into this cryotherapy machine. I just thought it was just disgusting what his feet look like.
They're nasty.
You're trying to go in to help with pain and you come out with more pain. That's just...
And I see the tweets from Dr. Chow, who used to be the Chargers team doctor we've had on the show before. And he was like, look, where that dead skin and everything like that, that's not a problem. He goes, where the biggest problem is, if you've done that, is the arch of your foot, because it's in the center of every movement that your foot makes, especially for a wide receiver.
So it takes longer to heal, probably.
And it would also be more painful. But he obviously notated, look, I don't think that that's the kind of pain he could be having if the arch was feeling that. But he goes, at the same time, I also realize from a Gruden perspective, if you don't have him on the field for training camp, you're missing reps and things with a new team that you really need him to be on the field for.
And the idea is that when you step into this, I just saw an article, you said 120 degrees. There's one machine, I'm pretty sure there's machines that go that low. One says negative 240 degrees. Mm. And as long as you do like a full body therapy session, then as long as you do it 5 minutes or less, it should be okay to the point where you don't get no frostbite, frost nip, nothing, no pain in that regard. But I guess, like I said, the protective wear that Antonio Brown, the footwear that he should have worn, was not worn. So at first they didn't want to reveal anything about the situation with Oakland.
But I don't know, did he do it while he was a member of the Raiders? Or did he do it on his own? I thought I had heard he was traveling somewhere out of the country and was working out and decided, I'm going to do this while I'm here.
But he missed practice.
No, so he's missed practice because of it since then. But I'm saying the Raiders didn't want to talk about it, probably because their medical staff wasn't involved like they should be. He went off and did it on his own, and they were trying to protect him.
That's very possible. That's very possible. And a lot of players these days want to do that. They don't want to just necessarily go with the staff that's employed by the team all the time. I know Tom Brady has his own situation. Kawhi obviously had his own doctors in that situation with San Antonio. You tend to have that a lot in that league. I just thought it was disgusting seeing that pitch.
Those are nasty. And listen, now that from an NBA perspective, the Players Association, the guy that used to be one of the strength and conditioning coaches for the Rockets, left so that he could head up the NBA Players Association facilities. So what you're talking about, they have a whole facility in New York. The guys can go there in the offseason and work out if they don't have anywhere to go. They can get medical treatment at any and all times all year long if they don't have any place to go. Or say you're on a roster and you get cut as the last man and you need treatment to get your health right so you get another look, you can go to the NBPA, National Basketball Players Association.
Talk to them about getting a trainer.
And actually get therapy right there. They have a gym. They have all the PT people that can help you. And so players use that. So you know, there are resources for these guys to use. It's just you got to use them correctly.
At the same time, I'm not shocked that this happened, considering it's a fairly new therapy. Like you said, this only went back 4 or 5 years, basically. Yep. It really didn't become relevant till this year. I can see some hiccups, you know. They're always trying to try new therapy, especially for pain for athletes.
It's kind of like our water machine in here for Seaforce Water. The bottom line is it's smarter to read the instructions first and then get it operational instead of getting it operational and then reading the instructions afterwards to find out that every bottle in there is absolutely frozen like Antonio Brown's feet.
Yeah,
that's just something they should work on. Read the directions first, not after. It's just a tip that I've learned along the way.
It's the worst thing when you're trying, you drink the little bit of water that's melted in that bottle.
Yeah.
So,
all right, so we got 2 hours in the books. We still got an hour to go. 60 minutes on the clock. We'll take it till 4. Blitz will take it till 7. Aaron, Fred, AJ, they're all present and accounted for, so they're going to be ready to roll if Aaron already isn't, because you can follow him during their show at Aaron is Blitzed, and during our show, it's at Aaron is Suspect. It is the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.